the title of this is Living by God's Direction. Now, when He gives these to me, sometimes God speaks to me from the perspective of, I'm going to speak to you as Jesus, your Savior. Or sometimes He'll speak to me from the perspective of the Holy Spirit giving instruction. And sometimes He speaks to me as, my Father. And this one was as Father. It was like, okay, now sit down. Let me share you, son. Let me share some things with you. So I'm just going to pass along to you what He said to me. And if you'll start over in Proverbs chapter 3, because what He does with me on these, He'll either give me a scripture, book, chapter, and verse, or He'll bring to mind a verse, a few words out of the verse. And if I don't remember where it is, then I've got to, look it up and find it. And it's like He just sits and waits for me. And then I find this, and then I'm reading it. And sometimes He'll say, now see this, and then, continue to speak to me about what's in that verse. Sometimes He'll give me 3, 4, 5 verses or short passages of Scripture that I need to read before He continues on. So starting here in Proverbs chapter 3, and then we'll go from here over to Jeremiah, and I'll read to you what He gave to me as far as what verses to look at. And as we do this, it's really important to keep in mind what we're reading. So in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Now, before I go any further, when He started giving this to me, and I was asking Him, are you sure this is for tonight? And He said, yes, because there are going to be some people there tonight who have been seeking for direction and who need some direction for their lives. So, yes, I want you to give that tonight. I said, okay. So here we have, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now look over in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And in verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So I'll read it again. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, He's saying, look, within you, it ain't there. So God's telling you right here that it's not in us to know how to direct our steps. And then over in Proverbs, He said, hey, look, trust me, lean on me. Don't lean to your understanding, lean on me. Trust me, acknowledge me in all your ways. I'll direct your paths because it's not in you. Now, with those in mind, here's what He began to speak and say. He says, there is nothing more plain in my word about receiving direction from me for your life. I have clearly said that I will direct your paths. All you have to do is acknowledge me in all your ways. Notice that I said in all your ways, and he really emphasized all when he said it there. Notice that I said in all your ways. This means you cannot make the assumption that you know more about your life than I. There is no aspect of your life that I do not know. Every detail about how you are to live and serve me has already been laid out in a divine plan that rests within my heart. It is from my heart that I release this information to you. And I'm thinking about this, and it's like, this makes perfect sense. Because it's obvious from the Bible, there's a call of God in our lives. Now, I don't know what that is for each of us, but there's a call of God in our life. And for us to say something like, well, I don't really have a ministry. No, what you ought to be saying is, I have a ministry, I just don't know what it is yet. But I'm going to know someday. Take that perspective, because look, God's got a call on every person's life. Now, if He's got a call on our life, it should stand to reason He wants us to know what that is. In other words, if the kingdom purposes are going to be accomplished here on earth, it is in his best interest to get that information to us as soon as he is able. He's got the information. He has to get it to us. Well, the key here, like he said, acknowledge me in all your ways. Because that information rests in my heart. The divine plan for your life is here in my heart, and it's from my heart that I release this information unto you. And he went on and said, in spite of the fact that I have made it clear that I will give you direction for your life, I watch as millions of my children direct their own paths. You are very good at setting the course for your own life. Now, let me just interject this. When he says these things like you, he's not speaking specifically to me all the time, even though, yeah, I'm good at setting the course for my own life as well. But it's like he's speaking to the body of Christ. Okay, so I wanted to make sure that you understand this. In spite of the fact that I've made it clear that I will give you direction for your life, I watch as millions of my children direct their own paths. You are very good at setting the course for your own life. You have been raised in a world that relies totally on human logic, reasoning, and education. When faced with a decision, you tend to reason in your mind what makes sense and then act upon that reason. But if you will study my word, you will see that my instructions are usually in direct contrast to the logic and reasoning that comes from living in a corrupt world. And as he's saying this to me, in my mind, I'm doing this, you know, quick review throughout the Bible. It's like, well, yeah, none of this makes any sense. Because, you know, just think in terms of, well, when Israel came out of Egypt, and there they are at the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. And the people are starting to panic. And God says, okay, here's how you deal with this. Moses, stretch forth your rod. Now, in the natural, that makes no sense whatsoever. Now, you can just imagine all these millions of Jews, and they think they're going to die. They're complaining. You know, here we are, going to die at the sea. You know, we should have stayed in Egypt, and so on and so forth. And they're wondering, okay, Moses, you know, what are you going to do now? You know, how are you going to help us? How are you going to get us out of this mess? You know, the sea's at flood stage. Army we can't beat's coming behind us. What are we going to do? You know, in spite of the fact there was a cloud by day and a pillar, a cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, in spite of any of this, you know, there they are panicking. Well, what's he going to do? I don't know. What's he going to do? And they stand there and watch as this old man takes his big stick and stretches it out. Can you imagine how stupid that would have looked to people? But as soon as he does, what happens? The sea begins to part. And all of a sudden, they've got a way to get across. And it's dry land. That doesn't even, I mean, how can you have dry land? It's supposed to be muddy. You're supposed to be knee-deep. But it was dry land. And it made no sense whatever. And remember the story where the one fella was doing some work out in the field and the axe head fell off into the waters? And he was saying, oh, no, what am I going to do? And they took a stick, you know, and threw it in the water, and the axe head is floating. Well, then that doesn't make sense. I mean, normally you dive in and look for the thing. And on, all through Scripture, all through Scripture. God keeps telling people to do stuff that make no sense whatsoever. And just think about with Saul. He was told, wait until the prophet shows up before you offer the sacrifice. And so he stood around and waited and waited and waited. But then he began to reason, well, I'm the king. And God appointed me to be the king. I could offer a sacrifice. And he did. And then what happens? He gets chewed out for it. In his mind, he was obeying God and offering a sacrifice. I represent the people. I'm the king. And God was saying, no, that's not the way it works. Well, anyway, all through Scripture, God is giving people instructions to do things that make no sense whatsoever. Naaman, you know, go down there and dip in the dirty waters. He goes, oh, there's clean waters over here. And his servant says, hold on, boss. Look, you know, if he told you to dip in the clean water, wouldn't you do it? And in essence, the servant is saying, look, you're going to die anyway, okay? So what difference does it make if the water is dirty or clean? Just do this. And so he did, and he gets healed. But it doesn't make sense. Well, Father went on and he said, listen to this. When I said that in all your ways you are to acknowledge me, that is not just about the things you think are totally impossible in the world. I mean, how many times do we wait until we're desperate before we start crying out to God? Oh, God, what am I going to do? There's no way out. Oh, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. Well, he says, in all your ways, you are to acknowledge me. That is not just about the things you think are totally impossible in the world. All your ways means everything. Now listen to what he says. Where you work, how you conduct your business, how you interrelate with others, how you raise your children, where you live, and so on. And as he's speaking this to me, I'm thinking, well, that's not going to go over well with a whole lot of people. Because, well, like the thing, where you work. Let's think. If you got a phone call tomorrow and somebody offered you a job in San Diego making $350,000 a year, wouldn't you think, oh, God, you have blessed me? But well, what if that's not the job God wants you to have? What if the job God knows you need to be working at is a job here locally for $50 a year or $35 a year? It's like, well, I can't be God. Now you've got $350,000 waiting for you out there in San Diego. See what I mean? Acknowledge him in all your ways and everything that you do. And that right there, this is like if you have a job and you're in management, acknowledge him in your management as you are overseeing your people. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? And what happened with him? He ended up second in command of all of Egypt. Well, he says, you know, how you interrelate with others, how you raise your children, where you live, and so on. It also includes acknowledging him in all your ways. It also includes your doctrine and what you believe about my word. How can you possibly expect to receive and understand the direction I give you if you reject portions of my word as not being relevant for today? Did I not say in my word that all scripture is given by me and is profitable for you? He's making reference there in Timothy about all scripture given by God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, and so on and so forth. And so I'm thinking, boy, you know what? That's true, because if I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways, I have to acknowledge him even in what I believe. In other words, my heart should be such to where God, if this sermon I'm hearing, you know, it sounds really good, but if this is not of you, then I need to watch it, and I don't need to accept that into my life. If what my church is teaching me, if this isn't right, I need to know. And I need you to help me. I acknowledge you as the Lord of what I believe. Help me to see this. Help me to understand this. And guys, I'm telling you right now, this is where as he's speaking this to me, it was like I could see masses of Christians who have willingly chosen to submit themselves to a system, like within a church or denomination, what it would be, that is not leading them in the direction that God wants, but is leading them in the direction of what they want, what they have. In fact, see, if you acknowledge God in everything you believe and everything you teach, you will not stray from what God's Word has said, and you're not going to say, well, we don't do things like that today, or that was just for the apostles, or this doesn't go today. Now look over in Proverbs chapter 11. He took me over here next. Proverbs chapter 11. And take a look at verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. And that first part there is what really caught my attention. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. Now look over in Matthew chapter 6. There's a verse you probably all know and could quote, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Or in other words, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. All these things shall be added unto you. He'll direct you into everything he's got set aside for your life. So after he had me read those, he continued, as I said, my plan for your life rests within my heart, and it is out of my heart that I release it to you. I am righteous and the source of righteousness. You have been made my righteousness by your faith in my Son for salvation. I release direction for your life out of my heart of righteousness into the righteousness of your heart. In other words, as a spirit, I release my instructions for your life directly into your born-again spirit. And as soon as he said that, he took me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want you to turn over and see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and take a look down in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so again he said, you have been made my righteousness by your faith in my Son for salvation. I release direction for your life out of my heart of righteousness into the righteousness of your heart. In other words, as a spirit, I release my instructions for your life directly into your born-again spirit. And then that's where he took us to this passage here. This is why you absolutely cannot rely on your natural understanding to determine what you think would be my will for your life. I remember I heard somebody teaching one time, and basically what they were saying when it came to knowing what God wants you to do and understanding the will of God, they said, well, if it seems right to you, then that's what you're supposed to do. Well, that didn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, think about over there in Acts, where it talks about how Paul and those who were with him were going to go into Asia and preach the gospel because it seemed the right thing to do. And the Holy Spirit says, stop, don't go into Asia. Yeah, but there are a lot of lost people in Asia. I mean, sick people need to be healed. You know, they need the message. Holy Spirit says, don't go into Asia. So Paul said, all right, fine. So he thinks about it and says, you know what? Let's go to Bithynia. And so they start to head off to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit stops and says, no, don't go to Bithynia. Yeah, but they've got lost people over there in Bithynia. He says, don't go to Bithynia. So, well, what do we do? Well, sleep on it. So he has this dream. He begins to have this vision. And they ended up in Macedonia. Well, Macedonia is the church of Philippi. And when you read the book of Philippians, you're reading about a church that was birthed out of Paul's visit to Macedonia. Now, if he had just done what he thought needed to be done because it seemed like the right thing to do, or because he reasoned it out, he'd have gone to Asia. Or he'd have gone to Bithynia and completely missed out on God's perfect timing for Macedonia. And a church was birthed there. It became one of the strongest churches in the New Testament. And at one time, when he's writing to the Philippians, he says, hey, for a period of time, you were the only people who were supporting me financially in ministry. If he had leaned to his own understanding, it's possible he could have gone through a period of life where nobody was supporting him because he missed God to Macedonia. But he didn't lean to his own understanding. He did what the Lord told him to do. Now, listen to this. He said, remember. No, let me back up here. This is why you absolutely cannot rely on your natural understanding to determine what you think would be my will for your life. Please pay very close attention to the fact that I said the Holy Spirit is instrumental in giving you the direction you need. I am God, and I know the beginning from the end. Therefore, I know exactly what decisions you need to make. The Holy Spirit will only give you the information I know is best for your life. Why would you want to rely on logic, reasoning, and education for conclusive direction when you can receive your information directly from me? It's like, well, yeah, that's kind of like a no-brainer. You know, you put it like that, you're right. If I can get it straight from you, that's what I need to do, get it straight from you. He says, remember, what I tell you through the Holy Spirit will more often than not appear as a foolish course of action to those around you, including most Christians. But also remember that I operate from a divine spiritual perspective, knowing the beginning from the end. Logic, reasoning, and education can only provide you with information that is based on past events. I can tell you what is to come. And as soon as he said that, he took me to John chapter 16. Turn over there and I want you to see this. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And when he said this, it's like, you know it? But then when he says it like this, it's like, wham, yeah. This part about logic, reasoning, and education can only provide you with information that is based on past events. And that's true. Every decision we make based on logic and reasoning is based on a logic that has been processed in our mind according to what we have experienced, even if what we've experienced was only the observation of what happened to other people. The logic and reasoning is based on past events. It cannot be based on the future because we don't know the future. Yet here's God. He stands up in heaven. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. And so he can tell you what decisions you need to make that are going to prepare you for things that are coming that nobody on earth knows. He can prepare you for things that nobody has experienced before. And that information comes straight from him. Look in Romans chapter 8. Because after he said this and took me to John chapter 16, then he took me to Romans chapter 8. And he took me to verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So obviously here I don't know what to pray. And as I begin to pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues, then the Holy Spirit is praying through me according to the perfect will of God. That means the will of God for my past, in a manner of speaking, is irrelevant because I can't go back in time and correct what I did wrong. So this is going to pertain to what is coming, either what's coming in the next 60 seconds or what's coming in the next 60 years. It's pertaining to, you know, my future. Then look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So God just got through saying, look, you have this information, I have this information that you need, but I give it to you spirit to spirit. I'm a spirit, so I give it to you directly to your spirit, because that's where you need it. I give it to you, I am righteousness. I give it to you out of my heart of righteousness to the righteousness that is in your heart. I convey that information to you, and then he turns right around and says, and the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to be passing this information on to you. So what he's saying here is the more that I pray in the Spirit, the more that I pray in tongues, is the more that the Holy Spirit is going to be able to pass that knowledge on to me. Well, after I read these verses and considering what's in them, he said, is it any wonder that Satan has fought praying in tongues so hard? Should it surprise you that from within the church, he has attacked this form of prayer and direct communication with me? Religion will tell you that you do not need to pray in the Spirit, or that such prayer is not for Christians today. But remember what I said, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct your paths. Now look in Psalm chapter 1, and this was the last passage that he took me to. Psalm chapter 1, and look here, beginning in the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I can remember years ago, as I'm reading this, the Lord pointed out this process to me. Look in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It was like he said, do you see what's happening here? First off, you have this person who's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And then after he's done that for a while and got used to that counsel, the next thing that happens is he stops and he stands in the presence of the ungodly to receive their counsel. He stops. All progress just stops. And then after that happens, the next thing is he takes a seat. In other words, he comes to a place of rest and comfort in the presence of those who cannot lead him in the ways of God. Now, with this in mind, these first three verses, he said, for too long, most of my children have lived by the counsel of those who accept only those portions of my word that seem logical to their minds. Praying in the Spirit does not seem logical to the natural mind, but it will keep you planted by the river of life to receive the direction you need each day so that you will prosper in my will. Praise God. Makes me even gladder than ever that I pray in the Spirit.